भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्च प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, entitled The Rainy Season and the Autumn, Text Number 6. Tadidvanto Mahamegas Chanda Shvasana Vepitaha Preenanam Jivanam He Asya Mumuchuhu Karuna Iva Tadetvanta Mahamegas Chanda Shvasana Vepita Preenanam Jivanam Yasya Mumuchu Karuna Iva Tadidvanto Mahamegas Chanda Shvasana Vepita Preenanam Jivanam Yasya Mamucho Karuna Iva Taditvanto Mahamegas Chanda Swasana Vepita Preenanam Jivanam Yasya Mamucho Karuna Iva. Tadidvanto Mahamegas Ashvasana Vepita Nandi Vanahyasya Nuchu Karuna Iva Taditvanta Mahamegas Chanda Shvasana Vepita Preenanam Jivanam Yasya Mucho Karuna Iva. Matajis O Mahamegas Chanda Shvasana Vepita Jivanam Jivanam Yasya Tadit Vantaha. Displaying lightning. Mahamegaha. The great clouds. Chanda. Fears. Shvasanaha. By the wind. Vepita, shaken, preenanam, the gratification, jivanam, their life, their water. He, indeed, asya, of this world, mumuchuhu, they released. Karunaha, merciful personalities. Eva, just as. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Flashing with lightning, great lords were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. Purport. Just as great compassionate personalities sometimes give their lives or wealth for the happiness of the society, the rain clouds poured down their rain upon the parched earth. Although the clouds were thus dissipated, they freely provided rainfall for the happiness of the earth. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments as follows on this verse. During the rainy season, there are strong winds blustering all over the country and carrying their clouds from one place to another to distribute water. When water is urgently needed after the summer season, the clouds are just like the rich man who in times of need distributes his money, even by exhausting his whole treasury. So the clouds exhaust themselves by distributing water all over the surface of the globe. When Maharaj Dashrath, the father of Lord Ramchandra, used to fight with his enemies, it was said that he approached them just like a farmer uprooting unnecessary plants and trees. And when there was need of giving charity, he used to distribute money exactly as a cloud distributes rain. The distribution of clouds, of rain by clouds, is so sumptuous that it is compared to the distribution of wealth by a great munificent person. The clouds downpoured is so sufficient that the rains even fall on rocks and hills and on the oceans and seas where there is no need for water. A cloud is like a charitable person who opens his treasury for distribution and does not discriminate whether the charity is needed or not. He gives in charity open-handedly. Metaphorically speaking, the lightning in the rain is the light by which they can see. They see the distressed condition of the earth. And the blowing winds are their heavy breathing, such as that found in a distressed person. Distressed to see the condition of the earth, the clouds tremble in the wind like a compassionate person. Thus they pour down their rain. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Ritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Anchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Veshabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Galpataru Bhyascha Kripasindhugayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Thridvanto Mahamegas Chanda Shvashana Vepitaha Prinanam Jivanam Hiyasya Mumuchu Karuna Iva. Flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds give their lives for the pleasure of this world. So we are seeing here that the beautiful season of Sri Vrindavan Dham is being explained. And the beautiful pastimes, as His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj was explaining, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is explained by the ritus, by the seasons. And therefore, this is something which is also approaching the same season, coincidentally. We are approaching the rainy season, the monsoon. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a very realistic way of following the principles mentioned here. Especially the rainy season in Vrindavan is beautifully explained in this beautiful translations and purports. And it's explained here that the sun for the 8 months drinks the energy of the ocean, the wealth, and then the proper time is coming, it has accumulated that wealth in the clouds, and then they give the rains at an appropriate time. And therefore, charity which is much needed, where the charity is much needed, when it is given at the right time to the right person, it is the most beneficial. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was once approached by his disciple, Bhavanand Prabhu, and he exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, my name is Bhavananda. Bhavananda means, bhava means this material samsara, the ocean of material existence. And someone who enjoys swimming in the ocean of material existence means Bhavananda. But I didn't understand the meaning. How can one enjoy this ocean of misery? And I am supposed to be the servant of one who does so. Srila Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, there is no possibility of expressing compassion on the distressed conditioned living entities. It is only the material world offers this rare and very prized privilege of being able to assist the Lord in relieving the conditioned souls from the distresses of this ocean of material existence. And therefore one who is receiving joy and ananda in assisting in distributing the nectar, the mercy of Krishna consciousness upon the parched hearts of the conditioned souls suffering in the heat of material existence, that is ananda, that is bhavananda. That is the only pleasure in this material world. Just like for the karmis or for these people who are much addicted to these distresses, the sex life is considered the highest pleasure. And for the Vaishnavas, to assist these compassionate souls, the great acharyas, in their mission to parch the dry, sucked up hearts of conditioned souls is the only pleasure. And therefore, the sun is compared, in fact, Krishna Surya Samaha. Only Krishna can draw this powerful, can draw the water from the ocean. Imagine, the water of the ocean is salty. But when you get the rains, they are the nectar. In fact, if you see, the same water, when that trickles into the ground, and then if we take the groundwater out by using various appliances, and you use the same water, it doesn't have that same potency. As much as that water which nourishes the ground, the earth, falling from the sky. And therefore, nothing can replace this rainwater. That same rainwater can be used for so many purposes even after the monsoon is gone. So therefore, the compassionate souls, they are like the clouds who receive this authority from the sun, from Krishna, to store, to accumulate this mercy and to distribute at a time when it is the most needed. And therefore, these rains, these clouds, thereafter they nourish. Prabhupada explains this completeness of the creation. The water in the ocean is salty. Why is the water in the ocean salty? Because Prabhupada said it needs for preservation, to preserve the water. It's a self-preservative. And that self-preservative is now, when needed, the same water needed on the earth, it becomes devoid of salt. Right? And therefore, Prabhupada said that the creation is complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. There is nothing needed in this creation apart from what it is existing. Therefore, just like this cosmic body has a cosmic completion, complete cosmos in its total completeness, similarly the unit of this cosmos, this body also is complete. For what? For self-realization. It is absolutely complete in its potency to fulfill the purpose of life, to awaken God consciousness. And there is nothing else needed. And therefore Prabhupada claims, therefore if we simply vibrate, utilize this form to vibrate the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, the sound of Hare Krishna mantra, nothing else is needed to maintain this unit of the cosmic body. So seeing the completeness in the creation, one understands the completeness in the unit of this creation, and thus is able to utilize the function or fulfill the purpose of this unit. And therefore Prabhupada was seeing a whole huge billboard: enjoy, drink, enjoy Coca-Cola. It's a huge board in the United States of America. Prabhupada said, we just had to replace this Coca-Cola with, and anything goes better with it. It was written. Prabhupada said, just replace that Coca-Cola with Hare Krishna. Drink, enjoy Hare Krishna. Anything goes better with it. Anything goes nice with it. And Prabhupada was really, really saying that you should do that. You should go and tell them. Not that looks we can do that, but just replace this. We don't need anything else but the nectar of the holy name. And therefore, just like this whole exercise of the compassion is taking place on a level in the skies, the sun in the sky, the clouds in the sky, the winds in the sky, the lightning in the sky. Like just in the farm where we have been, we see that there are lightnings happening. Lightning is just a light flash. And sometimes we say they're just picking snaps. The demigods are snapping, photos from their cameras. And they get a very huge view. I don't know, but they get a complete earth view of the whole thing. But actually they are taking snaps and they are collecting data. This is a very place where the earth needs, this bhumi needs a lot of nectar in the form of rain. So first they have snaps, they take snaps, and then the clouds follow, the winds flow, and then that's how the rain comes. So sometimes we feel, why is the lightning and the thunder is not there, the rains are not there? They are documenting that rains are about to come. And therefore, this level is happening on the level of the sky. And therefore, there are people, there are farmers, there are agriculturists who prepare for the monsoon season. They are looking up for that. And therefore, Parashar Bhatt the son of Quraysh was once giving a discourse to his disciples, and he was recollecting a story that he had just heard, an incident that had just happened, of that of a hunter. This hunter was, as usual, on his hunting excursion, and he was in a forest where he saw a very innocent and very very helpless rabbit. This rabbit was in the striking distance of the hunter, and the rabbit saw the hunter and could realize the imminent death, the threat of his imminent death. Immediately this rabbit started running towards the hunter, and the hunter was like surprised. The prey is coming to me. It seems I don't even have to hunt. I don't even have to shoot an arrow. The rabbit came very close to the hunter, started to move around the hunter in parikrama, as if begging for mercy and shelter of this hunter. This hunter saw this very helpless rabbit taking shelter of this cruel, hard-hearted hunter. He saw this rabbit is taking shelter of this person. Generally, people who are very cruel-hearted, when they see someone taking shelter, they become more empowered. Oh, this person is taking my shelter, I will easily kill him. Stalin was such a leader. He would have so many people who would be willing to die for him, and they would be doing so many of his tasks. But then, anyone who would come very close to him, he would execute them in some due course of time, knowing that he would be knowing too much, too many secrets, that he could replace my position. So a cruel-hearted person has absolutely no possibility of giving shelter. And this rabbit just was moving, you know, hopelessly trying. But he was trying. Finally, this hunter gave up his bow and arrow, took the rabbit and gave shelter, and refrained from killing this rabbit. Speaking about this pastime of this nice story, tears started swelling in eyes of Parasharbat. And he said, just imagine, this rabbit had no hope in shelter of the hunter. Because the hunter was about to kill him. He's going to take the shelter of someone who is going to kill him. And this hunter, no one requested him or no one advised him, no one instructed him to give shelter to this rabbit. And yet this process of shelter was completed. And then he said, but in our case, the Lord is begging to us, take my shelter. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha yami ma sucha. And yet, we have the least helplessness of that of the rabbit to take the shelter of the Lord. That was his explanation. And he said, just see the unfortunate condition of the living entities. Here the Lord wants to give shelter. He is capable of giving shelter. He is begging to us to take shelter. And here, even in the most precarious, more precarious condition than the rabbit is our condition in the material existence. That we are not that eager, we are not that faithful of accepting that shelter. And therefore, one thing is the business of the great acharyas, great souls, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead to award opportunities. But the other most important part is, how do we prepare to receive that opportunity? I was just reading a quote, opportunities always look bigger as they are going. When they were coming, they looked as if this was an obstacle, right? But when it goes, it looks as if this is a great opportunity. And therefore, this human life is not a small thing that looks small, that looks insignificant, that looks frail with so many diseases, mental blocks, and so many disadvantages in these circumstances, circumstantial disadvantages. Seeing this might make us feel a little hopeless. Yet, it is the biggest opportunity that is in our hands. And therefore, the more than the cloud showering rain that the compassionate Acharya is giving, their mercy we can discuss in length. In fact, very briefly to discuss is how the great souls are like clouds. They give the rains in the rocks, hills and oceans. Even when it is least wanted, demanded. The great souls like Vidura, Shukdev Goswami and Narad Muni are the examples of such clouds. Vidur had already left the palace of Dhritarashtra, being insulted by Duryodhan. Yet after being moving all around the places, pilgrimage, hearing from great souls, acquiring great treasure of self-realization, he is coming back to the palace of Yudhishthir Maharaj just for to alleviate the miserable condition of Dhritarashtra, the most unwilling person. Imagine, Vidur in his whole life was counseling Dhritarashtra. And out of that counsel, he was rejected because he gave too much counsel, good counsel. And now he has not given up hope. Dhritarashtra is rotting in the palace of Yudhishthir and is still expecting to be given the privileges and the comforts of a king. Though he has become completely struck in his heart by the offenses of the Pandavas who have killed and exterminated their entire race. Imagine, Dhritarashtra was living in such place where he was with Bhim. And always he had that, Gandhari had great anger for Bhim because he killed all of their sons. In that humiliation, in that situation, Dhritarashtra is catching hold, is holding on to his attachment of being in this royal comfort. That was the kind of misery which Dhritarashtra, with Vidur could see. And then Vidur, when he came, he was, he explained to, in fact, Srila Prabhupada writes very nice striking statements. It is a spiritual culture which enables interplanetary travel of great souls. Like Narad Muni and many other Acharyas. They travel, they get the potency to do interplanetary travel because of a spiritual culture which is based on compassion. Therefore we find that Srila Prabhupada traveled all around the globe 14 times. It was a spiritual culture which was making that moment possible. And that moment is the real moment, the real gati. So he was, as he was speaking some instructions, all the members of the family were hearing patiently. Though it was not meant for them, Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra, it was meant for Dhritarashtra, but it is said that if one hears very patiently to the words of the great souls, then slowly and gradually their self-realization will awaken. And the real transcendentalist, their hunger, their real hunger is to experience the absolute happiness, standard of happiness. Just like a hungry person cannot become happy without alleviating his hunger, the real transcendentalist, without achieving that absolute transcendental pleasure, their hunger is not mitigated. And therefore, he said that your body is dwindling, you are living like a household dog in the house of Bhim. And this time, they were really like sharp words, but these words were actually penetrating the heart of Dhritarashtra. And he said, one should leave home undeclare, unannounce. And that's how Dhritarashtra was, he could not give up that position and become Narottam, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, but at least become Dhira. Because if one can become Dhira, then slowly one can attain the stage of sannyas. And therefore, Prabhupada said in our case also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he implored us to take to this message of Krishna consciousness at a time when he was in his household ashram. Just, I was telling you, go and preach. Otherwise, without the words of these great acharyas, there could not be any possibility of accomplishing such a task. So therefore, the potency of the sun, the clouds get the empowerment. And therefore, the words of the acharyas are the most blessed nectar.
So here it is explained also that Parikshit Maharaj also was similarly preparing himself to receive the mercy of Shukdev Goswami. He had given up all the attachments. He was sitting on the bank of the Yamuna and he was imploring all the sages to understand as to what is the duty of a person about to die and the duty of a person in all situations. Because Parikshit Maharaj felt himself so humbled and felt himself so helpless, Prabhupada mentions that even he was spiritually trained of awakening that attachment for Krishna, still the Lord had to arrange situation by which he had to give up the attachments. So it was not that it was so easy for Parikshit Maharaj too. And what to speak of us. So the Lord had to personally arrange us the situations. And therefore, Shukdev Goswami appears to causelessly to Benedict Parikshit Maharaj. So here we see that the compassion of the great acharyas is there. But when the heart is ready, they immediately become very much powerful and effective. In fact, Narad Muni had no reason to go to Daksha after sending all his sons to the renounce order. He could have just gone ahead. But he went to Daksha Prajapati after doing all these things just to be blasphemed by Daksha. Not that way. So it is mentioned, the purport Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, that why Narad Muni stayed in front of Daksha for a long time. To be blasphemed, to be cursed, he accepted the curse. But Daksha had a lot of pious credits. He knew that Daksha is a very pious person. And he was exhausting his pious credits by cursing a sage. So he was expecting that Daksha would feel remorse for doing it. I would accept all the offense, but his heart would change after showering that whole anger on him. And then he would become repentant, remorseful, and then he would beg for mercy, or he would be ready to receive mercy. So he was wanting to vent the anger of Daksha in such a way that would create a kind of atonement, a feeling of atonement in Daksha. Can you imagine the compassion of Narad Muni? In one sense, if by instructions he could just, is one way of compassion, right? To give instructions and to show some mercy, but to receive insult, to tolerate a curse and still go on and to tolerate further for the sake of compassion is the limit of grace. No one could get the grace like Daksha, in fact. Then Narad Muni was so inclined to give that grace and the same case was with Jagai and Madai. Lord Nityanand Prabhu, he stayed there. He showed the blood oozing. He didn't go away from that place. Just cover up my head. He let the oozing blood to be seen by these two brothers, to see what their sinful actions did. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing this condition of Nityananda Prabhu, would come and then would deliver, and he would then beg for the deliverance. So such meticulous plan, such meticulous intent of such a great compassionate acharyas. It just seems it simply behooves us to prepare ourselves to receive this compassion. The compassion may be very great, the compassion may be very wonderful, but unless the heart is not prepared to receive that compassion, it would just flow to some other place. Just like so many lands, if they are not prepared before the monsoons and they are not seeded with the right kind of seeds and grains, what will grow is simply grass or probably just drain away. So the mercy is there. But how to get that mercy? That mercy is prepared by the proper arrangement, preparing our hearts to receive that mercy. And that is gratitude. And gratitude means that we are very, very much aware of the mercy that is coming to us. And also to receive the right mood. So, the work that is required to make the heart ready is very hard. Just like to prepare the land is a very hard work. To seed is not so difficult. It is said the farmers would give their lands for seeding to someone else, for harvesting to someone else, for weeding to someone else, to maintain to someone else. But the plowing of the land is done by the farmer himself. Why? Because that determines the quality of everything that follows later. And therefore, the monsoon preparation is compared to the preparation of the heart for a sadhaka. And for a sadhaka, the first thing is to plow the land, to remove it of all, to make the heart soft, to make the heart ready, pliable, malleable. And that is possible when one is extremely determined. And therefore, in fact, this is all reciprocal. To the degree the rains are there, to that degree, if you want to reap the benefit of the nectar, one has to work hard on the ground level. So therefore, it is explained that Sage Agastya Rishi was once overseeing the construction of Kalahasti temple. This is Sri Shailam, somewhere here, Kalahasti, down south. This is and also guided by Bharadwaj Rishi. So in those times, there were laborers who were working there. So laborers would work at the end of the day. Every day they would be given wage, daily wage. So they would be given at the end of the day, two sadhus would give a palmful of sand and put in their lap, in their jhola, in their cloth. Said, this is your daily wage. And to the degree that they have worked, they have attempted, they have labored, that much amount of sand only will convert into gold. Rest will remain sand. So this is also how the Lord sees. The Lord, yathamam prapadyante. So therefore the Lord in the heart reciprocates according to the preparation the sadhaka is done. That much amount only will transfer into mercy. The rest will remain as it is. Unused. Underutilized. And therefore, the effort means to use our intelligence. Prabhupada said devotional service is not a static activity, is not a static meditation. Devotional service means to engage practically 24 hours a day and in such a way to leave no resources unused and underutilized for the service of the Lord. Yesterday, Isgas Madhyanda Prabhu was explaining about how we are not using our resources, our abilities in service of the Lord fully. And therefore, Prabhupada was once asked by Garg Muni Prabhu in the early years, Prabhupada, how can I help you? I want to serve you, assist you. How can I serve you, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, by assisting the mission of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada said just that. And Prabhupada did not say how to assist the spiritual master. So he was thinking, what does my spiritual master need? And he was seeing Prabhupada was dictating, Prabhupada was writing every day the purports. So he said, if Swamiji gets a dictaphone, and then you know someone can transcribe, that will be very nice. So he went out, saw Granthic dictaphone, and whatever he had savings, he got it. He bought this dictaphone and thought that if I give to Swamiji, I'll explain to him how to use this dictaphone. So he went to Swamiji. Swamiji, I got this dictaphone. Prabhupada was very happy, took it and said, it's fine. He said, Prabhupada, he found to, you know, how to use it. Prabhupada said, I'll work it out. And Prabhupada started to use it as if he was using it for a long time. Why? Because a pure devotee of the Lord, when it has to use for Krishna services, doesn't have to go for training how to use the resources in Krishna service. The greed to engage in service is so great that Krishna gives the intelligence. The Prabhupada practically used everything, everyone in a way that would be completely satisfied in his engagement, in service of the Lord. So therefore, apart from the land that has to be tilled and plowed, the right seeds have to be there. If the seeds are not there, which are of the right quality, then those they will not bear good fruits. healthy fruits. Therefore it is said the seeds of aspirations is what the sadhaka is planting to seed. And therefore, this is what Vritrasura says in his prayers, though in the body of a demon, that when will my heart be longing to be the servant of a servant who are always engaged in glorifying the Lord and to use my body, mind and words in glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. Srila Parikshit Maharaj also prays to the sages that let me have an unrestricted attachment for the Supreme Lord. Let me associate always with the devotees and have a friendly relations with all living beings. This is what the aspirations of the sadhakas. Parikshit Maharaj was aspiring, Dhritarashtra was aspiring that. And in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even Srila Advaita Acharya, who is Ishvara Tattva, he was the one who begged the Supreme Lord to appear. And therefore, when he was once in the house, all the devotees was once in the house of Srivas Thakur, Mahaprabhu, when he awoke after unconscious, after an ecstatic trance of devotional ecstasy, he said, "Am I feeling any ecstasy? Has anyone taken the dust off my feet?" And everyone was afraid to reveal, because the senior most person had done it. So how to say that, and if you say that senior most person has done it, then later on it will be a breach of etiquette. So Srila Advaita Acharya, seeing the very precarious condition of the Vaishnavas, he himself said, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I have taken the dust of your feet because you would not give it to me otherwise. You respect everyone, you give credit to everyone, you respect everyone and you instruct everyone, but you never take instructions, you take my instructions and you respect me always. And this is not my situation. I want that I should be your servant and you treat me that I am your servant. And therefore I have done it." Mahaprabhu was very angry, and in that mood he left. But Advaita Acharya was not satisfied till there. Still, even taking the dust, that was not that Mahaprabhu changed his mood. Therefore he started to expound the philosophy that impersonal speculation is higher than devotional service. That the Lord would become angry, hit me, chastise me, that would mean that I am his servant. And therefore, this aspiration, not on a mental or an emotional or a subconscious level, but on a physical level, he made Mahaprabhu to accept him as his servant. He got the kick. Okay, this is where I have received the acceptance of being the servant of Mahaprabhu. And therefore, this is where there is no question of accepting respect, but always to be in the mood of a servant. The roots of determination. So when the seed is planted, when the seed grows, the roots have to grow first. Without the roots growing, the tree will not bear, or the plant will not bear its creepers and the branches. So the root is the root is the root cause of the flourishing of the creeper or even the plant. So these roots have to be determined. Why? Because the roots have to penetrate through so many obstacles. There are insects, there are microorganisms, there are bacteria, there are stones, there is hard earth which has been parched for a long time. And the roots, they have to be really determined to penetrate deep and wide and to be strong. And therefore, this shows the determination of the sadhaka after planting the seeds of aspiration to follow that aspiration. And therefore, this is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his took sannyas, when he first came to Bengal, after a long time to go then to Jagannath Puri, to Vrindavan from there, he stayed in the house of Vidya Vachaspati. And he was staying there and he was having all those, everyone came to know that Lord Mahaprabhu is in the house of Vidya Vachaspati, and hordes and millions of people started walking completely disregarding their social conventions. They forgot what they were doing. They simply ran bare feet to the Ganga, and the house was on the other side of the Ganga. They wanted to cross the Ganga, and there were hardly any boats. So all of them got on the boats. The boats were full, so that people would, the boats would be so full that the boats would collapse. And still the people would then cross, walking. Those who didn't know swimming would take an earthen pot, tie up to their chest and start to swimming. Some of them did not know swimming. They started to learn. They learned swimming. Like, and then they reach. Some of them, all of them went in such millions, and they reached in that eagerness and enthusiasm that none of the circumstances or their individual limitations were any kind of obstruction to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such was their determination. Some of them climbed the trees, the branches, the ends of the branches, but still the branches and the trees did not collapse. And all this was happening by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes the boat would collapse in the middle of the Ganga, and immediately the boat would collapse and there would be land below. And this is what the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the determination, by the enthusiasm, by the eagerness of those devotees, the Lord could make arrangements to fulfill their aspirations. But then finally the Lord went to Kulia, and everyone started to chastise Vidya Vachaspati. You are a miser. You have taken even a gentleman, if he has some sweets, he distributes with others and has it. So they were chastising in very, very sharp language. Bengali, nice chastising language. So imagine, he was like feeling so remorse. First Mahaprabhu left, and then these people are, you know, and some Brahman came and whispered in his ear, Mahaprabhu has gone to Kulia. And said, thank God, at least I got that information, I am saved. So he said, just got a news that Mahaprabhu has gone to Kulia. Let us go to Kulia and find out whether he is really there. And if he is there, then my reputation is saved. And all of them went again in teeming millions, the same act, the same crossing the Ganga, second time. This is the determination. Once Srila Prabhupada also explains that one should be the Chataka birds. These birds never drink the water which has fallen on the ground or the lake or the pool. They drink the water directly from the clouds. And even if they have to face thunder, lightning, shocks, they are willfully accepting it for the grace, for the nectar. Prabhupada's visa was not being arranged in the US for a long time, for 4 months or so. And Prabhupada, some disciples said, Prabhupada, you have to stay in Canada for some time. And then we may have to apply again for visa. And Prabhupada said, even if I don't get it, no problem. I will stay in Canada, I'll make Montreal my headquarters and preach from there. This was his determination. Whether or not the situations are favorable or unfavorable, the determination does not see a situation, determination does not see the obstacle, determination just is build up and enthuse on the aspiration. And therefore, along with the seeds and the roots of determination, the soil has to be proper content and nourishment in the soil. Because if the soil is not nourished, then the roots will not take nutrients properly and will not bear very sweet fruits, very healthy fruits. So therefore, the soil has to be always humid. It is said, therefore, the soil has to be always covered up with a layer of organic matter so that the retainment of the moisture and the nourishment is not evaporated in the soil. And therefore, this word humus comes, the Greek word humus. For this condition of humidity that retains the moisture and the nutrients in the soil. And that is through the association of devotees where there is loving cooperation and so intense affection for the purpose of serving the spiritual master and serving Krishna. Because that would retain the unity, and that unity will give the strength. And therefore, this nourishment is so important, and in this humus, this word humility also comes. Humility comes from the word from the Greek root is humus. And what in Wikipedia, if you see, in the definition of humility for Hinduism, Srila Prabhupada's purport is mentioned, Bhagavad Gita. Definition of Amanitvam. Humility means to be, not to be anxious of being, not being anxious and this have to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. That is the definition of humility given. And therefore, in such condition of humility only, that the roots of determination thus will grow and the creeper will bear beautiful fruits. Always maintained. And this is also when this is one case where one story when a lady, she had just gone to gold bangles. Two pairs of gold bangles were given to her. And then she was moving out in the village everywhere to show everyone. But no one was noticing those bangles. She was so miserable. She had those gold bangles but no one to see it and appreciate it. So one day she was so frustrated, she lit her house on fire. So that people would pay, will attend. And then when the fire was in the house, she came out running out of the fire. And people were trying to douse the fire and she was showing the bangles. So now everyone saw the bangles. Everyone should see the bangles now. So humility means not to attract attention and to expect respect in gross or subtle ways. Humility means to just be a no one in the service of the Lord. And whether we are acknowledged, we are respected, we are appreciated, we are counted in our existence or not, that is not the concern. So, even Arjun, when he met Hanuman on his travels to Dhanushkodi, Rameshwaram, he found Hanuman was laying there and he had just got Pashupata Vaman from Lord Shiva. And he said to Hanumanji, why did your Lord Ram build that bridge with stones? He could have just shot arrows and that arrows would have built the bridge. Hanumanji said, our monkeys are very strong, powerful, they would have jumped, they would not have walked. Therefore that bridge would have collapsed. So for the safety of the monkeys, the bridge was made with stones. He said, I will make a bridge and I put a wager that if I build a bridge and it does not collapse, then you have to stay on my flag always as Kapidvaj. And if I fail, I will enter into fire. As usual, Kshatriya. Arjun was, had made so many vows to enter fire. Known, unknown. But then, he shot arrow, made the bridge. Hanumanji put his thumb, pressed it a little bit and it cracked and water leaked. Arjun said, done. I have to enter fire now. No excuses. A sadhu came and said, what's the problem? What's going wrong here? He said, this person had such a wager and such a thing happened now. He is going to fire. He is fulfilling his wager. He said, oh, actually, see, there was no witness to the whole thing. Who knows it is true? Let's do it again. Hurry. Because there was no referee. There has to be proper referee. So then, again, let's do it again. So Arjun was thinking, let's do it again means what? I have to do something extraordinary. So he was praying and he shot those arrows. Hanumanji went and he was like willing, now thinking about what would happen. And this sadhu is done something by which Hanumanji jumped and nothing happened. Actually the Sudarshan Chakra was in the below, the bridge, therefore nothing happened. And as soon as the Lord, the sadhu disguised as Lord Ram, the same Lord Krishna for Arjun, when he withdrew that chakra, Hanumanji just cracked, the bridge cracked. And then Hanumanji said, okay, first time he won. That means he should win. And I will always remain on his flag as Kapidvaj. And by my prowess, Arjun will never face any harm and defeat and even any decrease in his encouragement. I will encourage Arjun by my loud cries. Therefore, it is said that whatever we are is because the humus of the association of the Vaishnavas. And by that energy, by that collective strength, a tree, a seed can grow into a very powerful tree, a powerful plant. And because of that, in that condition, we always give the credit to the devotees. for any individual accomplishment. It is the collective credit of all other devotees. And in that soil, in that culture, that plant can grow very wonderfully. And ultimately, one has to remove the weeds. And those weeds of anarthas have to be constantly be monitored. Otherwise, they will suck the energy of the plant. And therefore, one cyclist was stopped by a policeman. And he told him, stop, because he didn't have a lamp in the night on a traffic road. And he said, the cyclist said, I will not stop because I don't have a lamp and neither I have brakes. So this world, this civilization is like a cyclist driving on a night road in a very traffic oriented place. There is no wisdom, light, no light of wisdom, and there is no break of senses. No sense control and no wisdom. And therefore, if one does not have these two things and one is driving very fast, then definitely one will face either a crash or would fall into a ditch. And therefore the weeds, if not properly arrested at the proper time, they would actually suck the energy and the growth of such a creeper. And therefore, the selfish exploitative mentality has to be rooted out. Alexander was taught by Indians. He was in a village. He was just looking at the culture of India. And he was in a village. He saw there were two villagers who were fighting. One villager was saying, this is your, no, this is mine. So actually he came to know that one villager had sold a land to the another villager. And in his land, which he had sold, the other one who had bought, the buyer, had found a stock of gold coins when he dug below. And he went to say that this is yours. Alexander was shocked. Has he gone crazy? Second, he said, this is crazy person for sure. But the other person should be intelligent. So this person said, I have sold the land to you, including everything inside the land. So that is yours. This is not mine. He said, both are crazy. And he said, both started fighting. And finally, they went to a proper panchayat to resolve the problem. Fortunately, they didn't go to a court. And therefore, this village panchayat head said, okay, only way to resolve this problem is that the buyer's son be married to the seller's daughter, and the wealth which was collected from the land should be given in dowry to the seller, the daughter's father. And that's how they happily ended that disagreement. He was shocked, Alexander the Great. So even if there are disagreements amongst devotees, it should be such a positive one that something wonderful should come out of it. And therefore that is what Srila Prabhupada has given us, the beautiful Krishna consciousness movement, this culture of bhakti, where the weeds, even if they come, they are resolved so nicely that ultimately only the enthusiasm of the plant, of the creeper of bhakti, goes up manifold. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We are over time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.